What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Saints Coaches Show. Mike Haas here in studio, Bobby Hebert at the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi, and Dennis Allen, Saints head coach, on the line with us. And a tough loss yesterday, 15-12 to the Philadelphia Eagles, and coach, 3-0 into the fourth quarter. I mean, people may have arrived thinking they might see a track meet, but what they got was an old-school punch-in-the-mouth football game, and just tough that you could not close it out at the end.
Yeah, look, I mean, it was a heavyweight battle, and I think two good teams playing against each other, and very physical game. I give them credit. You know, they made the plays that they needed to make to win the game. I feel like we left some things out there on the table and didn't take advantage of some things we had some opportunities to. And you know, but we had some good meetings today. We learned from our mistakes. We'll grow from them, and we'll get better from them.
Now, Coach Allen, I think you would take this week in and week out because you look at scoring defense and scoring offense and how do you protect the football or take it away. That if you'd have told me this, and let's say you were dreaming Saturday night before the game, the Saints would hold the Eagles to 15 points, sack Jalen Hurts four times, you block a punt, you force two turnovers. I think you probably say, well, I like our chances a lot. Wouldn't that be the case if you do that game in and game out? It should be.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, if you had told me that before the game, I'd have said that, you know, I'd take those results and anticipate coming out with a win. But that wasn't the case in this game. And so we've got to look hard at the things that we didn't do as well as we needed to. We got to make those corrections. We got to get better from them. And, you know, I think that we will.
You know, Coach Allen, when I look at, you know, in both teams would challenge it, whether you go for it on fourth down or do you take the field goal and an opportunity, you know, to get 3 points. Obviously, you want to score touchdowns instead of just kicking field goals. And the only, you know, you and I don't agree 100%, but you know, we're kind of on the same wavelength. But the only thing that I question, if we had McCoy and Taysom Hill and they were playing in the game, I'd say, well, hell yeah, I'm going for it too. But since they were not there and we could not control the interior, that's why I don't know about this, that the way the game was flowing, that I maybe would have taken those 3 points.
Yeah, look, Bobby, and I don't necessarily disagree with your thought process there. I think where we were at in the game, I felt confident that we could gain a yard with two opportunities to do it. We had third and one, we had fourth and one. And look, certainly when it doesn't work out, you know, there's always room to, you know, for people to question that decision. But we were playing this game to win, and I felt like if we could get the first down there, we had a great shot at scoring a touchdown, and you score a touchdown in a game like that and go up in that game, the way we would have gone up in that game, I think, you know, I just felt like that was the right decision.
I'm just curious, Coach, if during the game the other coaches' decisions on fourth down impacts that, because Sirianni's already played his hand last Monday in Atlanta, and in this game, that no matter what, his cards are in, you know he's going for it. So does that play into decision-making somewhere else? I'm not talking specifically about this fourth down, but just in general, you know kind of what he's going to do on the other side.
Yeah, look, I mean, you take everything into consideration. You know, whether they went for it on fourth down or not really didn't play that much into, you know, that decision to go for it on fourth down. That decision was really about when you get the ball down there in that area, that close to the goal line, you know, and you've got it third and one, and you got two shots at getting a yard. You know, I have confidence in our football team to be able to do that. Now, we didn't do it. And so, you know, and you lose a game by 3 points, it comes back to haunt you a little bit.
Now, Coach Allen, how the game closed out and we got the momentum. I think we scored a touchdown. It's right at the two-minute warning or a minute and 57. We're up 12-7. And then all of a sudden, you know, they don't need a field goal to tie us and send us maybe to overtime or to win the game. They got to score a damn touchdown. I know that had to be disappointing because I know how much y'all pay attention to detail, whether it's the offense or the defense, and practice in two-minute defense and offense. But in hindsight, when you look at it, okay, it's 3rd and 16. Explain to the fans, because I got text last night in the post game, why maybe we aren't playing zone and keeping the ball in front of us, considering A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith's not even in there. So, and you even acknowledge that they want to throw to Goddard, the tight end, and then we all run into each other. But we can't give up that chunk play. But it was 3rd and 16. That wouldn't you maybe play the zone concept and break up on the ball, and then it could have been 4th and 8, 4th and 6, whatever, instead of giving up that chunk play. And considering they had to score a touchdown with under 2 minutes.
Yeah, look, and again, you know, obviously when you give up a touchdown, you open up yourself to people questioning your decisions. But look, I felt like they were going to throw the ball to Goddard. That's the one, the person that they wanted to throw the ball to. And I wanted to try to take him away. And, you know, we didn't play it as well as we can. We ran into each other, and it led to an explosive play. And so, but look, I mean, I've been on both ends. I've been on the end where you play, you know, soft zone, and people move the ball down the field on you, and you know, you get criticized for being in a prevent defense, you know, and you get aggressive and it doesn't work. You get criticized for that. So you just got to do what you think is the right thing to do. It didn't work out, and that's the way the game ended.
Well, Coach Allen, on that particular play, I mean, was Jordan Howell, I don't know, he seemed like overly aggressive. Don't you have your head on a swivel? You have peripheral vision. I mean, you got to see that the angles you're taking, that you can't be a bat out of hell when you're running to your own players. To me, I could see where Lattimore and, you know, look at Will Harris and all that. To me, the one that was out of control in that play is the youngster, Jordan Howell.
Yeah, look, there are certain techniques that you use in those situations when, you know, a lot of offenses do things of that nature, you know, picks, rubs, whatever you want to call them. and so there's certain techniques that you have to use to be able to deal with those things. And look, we didn't execute as well as we needed to, and it cost us in that situation. Again, like I said earlier, you know, we come in, we watch the tape, we make the corrections that we need to make, we learn from them, and we move on.
Coach, I know there's not necessarily a huge update on Eric McCoy, lost on the third play. Is there any, just from a fan standpoint, 30,000 feet, is there any positives to take away from this, that it's a groin and not automatically like a knee, an MCL or an ACL, or is it just too early?
Yeah, look, I mean, anytime somebody goes out with an injury, I don't think there's really a whole lot ever that you can think from a positive standpoint. You know, look, he's gonna we're evaluating, you know, exactly where he's gonna be, exactly what we have to do to try to get him back. And you know, and then we'll go with that plan once we determine what the best course of action is.
Mike Haas, Bobby Hebert talking with Saints head coach Dennis Allen. Gonna take a break. This is the Saints Coaches Show here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back, Mike Haas, Bobby Hebert, and Saints head coach Dennis Allen. And coach, we talked a lot about the Eagles offense and Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley. And I want to look specifically more at the battle up front and the defensive tackles in Philly and Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. So Jordan Davis, they trade up for. He's the 13th overall pick in 22. Jalen Carter is the 9th overall pick in 23. So, I mean, just big, athletic, and, you know, just your overall assessment of who won that battle on the in the trenches yesterday and their impact.
Yeah, no, they're extremely talented. The interior of their defensive line, I think, is probably as talented as any team in the league. They you know, they played exceptionally well. I think sometimes what happens, you know, you get in this league and you know, you have a game and you don't play as well as you think you should play, and you hear about it all week long, and you know, they came in and they were a little pissed off and played well, and quite frankly, I think they won that battle up front, and I think that was a major factor in the game.
Now, Coach Allen, two players, I think, that have played at a very high level, and one young and one older, even though he's a young veteran, on the defensive side, it seems like all three games that they're getting better and better. Carl Granderson. I'm looking at Carl Granderson. He ended up having a sack and a half, a couple of quarterback hurries, tackle for a loss, you know, forced fumble. And you look at Brian Brzee, ended up with a couple of sacks, two tackles, a quarterback hurry, and two tackles for a loss. So just comment on those players, because I think Brian Brzee, you could see the steps he's made from last year compared to this season. Now, obviously, you want him to be an every-down lineman to be able to play against the run. But Carl Granderson, like for comparison, whatever, I think Chase Young is doing some good things at times. You see flashes, and maybe not necessarily the sack total, but you see the quarterback hurries. But what's up with Cam Jordan? I don't know. He's played three games. He has two tackles. So I know you want everybody to contribute, and how can they come up? But Carl Granderson, to me, has been the man so far off the edge.
Yeah, look, there's no question. I think Carl's continued to get better every single year. He continues to work hard. He loves football. He comes in and works his tail off every single day. He's awesome to have around. And he's playing at an extremely high level right now. I think Brian Brzee is getting better inside. Certainly you see the production from a sack and a pass rush standpoint. And yet I think he's gotten better in terms of defending the run. And I think there's still a lot of growth to be had with that player. And so I'm excited about what both of those guys have been able to do thus far.
Now, Coach Allen, you're playing Atlanta, like Carolina. I think it's a 2-for-1 because division game. And, boy, before you know it, then you play Carolina. I mean, you play Atlanta, then you play in the Chiefs, then Tampa Bay, and you can have a great opportunity to get off to a great start in the NFC South. And I look at, like, a quarterback and, you know, what do they know and what are their experiences? I mean, it's amazing when I was looking at this today. When you look at the comparison, the last decade, and you look at top five, and I'm talking about the likes of like Matthew Stafford, Tom Brady. Now, Matt Ryan's not playing anymore, but Derek Carr and Kirk Cousins is in that number. You're talking about completions. You will look at like 20-plus passing touchdowns. You look at 300-yard passing game. You go on and on, just overall passing yards. That Derek Carr and, to me, Kirk Cousins, they're very similar when you look at how long they've lasted and the stability they've brought, and now they face it off against one another. And obviously, this game, the magnitude of it is we've always played well in Atlanta. You've been part of that, so it's a big challenge. But I think it's almost like a push between both the quarterbacks, how they play and what they bring to the table to lead the team.
Yeah, look, it's going to be a big challenge going there to Atlanta and playing there at their stadium. I certainly think they've upgraded the quarterback position from where they were. They've spent a lot of assets on acquiring skill players, you know, on offense, and now I think they've got the quarterback to go along with it. I think they're playing. I think they're playing well on defense. They're you know, minimizing the scores, playing really good in the red zone. So they've improved their football team, and I think we've improved our football team too. And I think, you know, both of those quarterbacks that you talked about probably don't get as much credit as they deserve, and it'll be good to watch both of them go out there and play on Sunday, and I'm expecting, you know, Derek to play really well.
Coach, talk about just, I know you always, there's never enough, you always want more, but just the production out of your tight end room in general, just kind of assess that. No targets again for the second straight week for Juwan Johnson, just where things are in that room. And I don't know if you put Taysom in that room. You can put him in any room, so I don't know where you put him, but just overall in that tight end room.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's hard to argue with the production that we've had on offense. Certainly we didn't have the production that we would have liked to have had against Philadelphia, but it's hard to argue with the production that we've been able to have, both running the ball, throwing the ball, explosive plays, all those types of things. And so, you know, look, our concern is not where we're getting the production as long as we're getting the production. And I think our tight ends are doing a good job. I think as the season goes along, you'll see them be more and more involved. You know, obviously, Taysom spends time in that room. He spends time in the running back room. So, you know, I think all those guys are going to have a contribution to our football team, and they have had a contribution in terms of the running game and in protection.
Yeah, and two touchdowns, one for Foster and one for Juwan in week one. So, I was just curious. Can I take a break? We'll come back more with Saints head coach Dennis Allen and Bobby Hebert. This is the Saints Coaches Show here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. Got one more segment here with Saints head coach Dennis Allen. And coach, you know, it's three games. It's perspective, right? Three games in, you're 2-1, you lead the division. Tampa lost, Atlanta lost, Carolina won. But I mean, it's about, you know, taking what you can positively from yesterday and just flushing the rest. Because it doesn't matter if you lose 52-50 or 15-12. It is what it is, right?
Yeah, look, a loss is a loss in our league, and it doesn't matter what the score is. You don't get to carry over any points to the next game. Everything starts 0-0. So, look, and like I said, I thought there was a lot of positives that you know, occurred in the game. I think our offense didn't play like we're capable of playing, and yet we scored a touchdown there at the end of the game to give ourselves the lead and give ourselves an opportunity to win the game. Defensively, we didn't finish the game like we needed to or wanted to, and yet we took the ball away a couple of times and had a couple of fourth down stops. So there was a lot of good things that we did. We had a punt block on special teams. So you look at those positives and you want to improve on those positives and continue to do those things. And then how do we fix some of the things that we didn't do as well as we needed to?
Now, Coach, you being a defensive background, and when you're watching the film, you know, you can watch it with the D-line, the linebackers, or the DBs, and, you know, you don't want to give up whether it's a chunk pass play or a chunk run. But that 65-yard touchdown run by Barkley, I mean, it looks like kind of like DeMario Davis. He got kind of lost in the wash and then he didn't have the right angle. But I don't know, Marshawn Lattimore was right there, and it seemed like Saquon jabbed at him, and he just froze, and he just ran right past him. Do you teach, you know, defensive backs, do you teach him maybe to be more aggressive with the tackle instead of, like, trying to catch him? Because that's a big play. You can give up a big run. I mean, it's a whole lot different than giving a 65-yard touchdown run, and Saquon Barkley is very talented. We all know that. He averaged almost 9 yards a carry on 17 carries, but that chunk play, I was just looking at Lattimore. To me, he's too good to not be more aggressive on that tackle, because Lattimore can tackle. I've witnessed him tackle him. He's not a soft corner. So how do y'all break down when you watch the film and as a defense, you break down that play to avoid that kind of chunk play, whatever it might be, pass or the run game with this particular run?
Well, look, number one is we got to be able to eliminate the space. You know, I think we all would like for someone to be able to get the guy on the ground. But when you create that much space and you're having to make a tackle on a guy in that much space, that's a lot easier said than done. And so I think up front we got to do a better job of, you know, making sure we fit it exactly right and eliminate the space in the defense. And when we've done that, we've done a good job of tackling and stopping the run. And when you put a guy like Saquon Barkley with that much field to work with, it's a tough assignment, tough deal to do. So I think the first thing we got to do is we got to fit it up better up front.
Now, Coach Allen, you got to be pleased so far. I think we're not shooting ourselves in the foot overall. It does matter when you get the penalty. But to me, if you have three or four or five penalties, you're not going to have a game where you could, but it's not realistic. You have zero penalties. But three penalties are 25 yards. But I don't know. How do you, I don't know, Coach or Console or Trevor Penning, yeah, you want to block the guy and finish, but you can't knock him into the bench. I mean, now we end up scoring a touchdown on that play. It didn't matter, but that could have been really costly considering it was third and four, Kamara gets 5 yards, and then you have that personal foul penalty. I mean, you just tell a player. It kind of reminds me of Kyle Turley. Remember, Kyle Turley was kind of out of control, you know, a couple of decades ago, you know, grabbing a helmet, throwing the stands and all. So did Trevor realize that where he was at, that that's not the time to finish a block, well, especially when you're way out of bounds?
Yeah, look, I mean, again, I think that's a young player making a young player's mistake. He's being aggressive, which I like, and yet you have to be smart. You got to play this game tough, nasty, aggressive, play physical, play to the echo of the whistle, and yet you can't ever hurt your team. And so he's got to be more aware of that situation. It didn't end up hurting us in that particular case, but it certainly could have, we've got to be better in those situations.
Coach, I'm curious. Atlanta will, you know, obviously with Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, but offensively, they're all, you know, have their little nuances, but a wide running wide zone. Is there any benefit to your defense spent, you know, all of camp, you know, playing against that kind of zone, you know, run scheme wide? Is there any benefit for you in preparation?
Well, look, we certainly had to compete against it all throughout training camp, so we kind of understand, you know, how it works. And yet, all of them are, you know, uniquely different in terms of how they block things and how they operate. I do think Atlanta is really good, you know, up front. You know, obviously they had a couple injuries in the game the other day, you know, and not sure exactly where that's going to fall. But I do think they block exceptionally well up front, in particular in the run game, and I think, you know, the runners are both good runners and in their own way. Algier being a little bit more powerful, Bijan being a little bit more of the home run hitter, and then they got some weapons outside, you know, with London and Pitts. You know, they can attack you outside and get the ball down the field. So we'll have our work cut out for us.
Now, Coach, I said this in the pregame, and I truly believe this. It seems like every game we play you know, you want to win in all phases, offense, defense, and special teams. But the one thing, and I was talking to Mike Quick, and, you know, he does the color for the Eagles. Said, well, one thing, the Saints, no one outplays us on special teams. And I think you could see that, you know, we get a blocked punt. I'm looking at Hayball, a couple of punts inside the 20. He had a long of 52. Now with Groupie, you never want to hit the upright. And lucky to go in there. But it seems like you got to be confident as a coach that how we prepare and paying attention to detail, that's one area where there's hidden yardage or flipping the field. That it seems like we come out on top when it comes to special teams. And that could be the case whether you win or lose when, you know, a division game coming against Atlanta or whoever it might be, that we've usually excelled, I know, as of recent especially. And really, for a while now, we've been pretty outstanding on special teams and winning that battle.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, credit to Darren Rizzi and Phil Galliano, the way that they coach the special teams. They do an outstanding job. I believe we have and have had one of the better special teams units in all the NFL. Look, I think we've done a great job with the new kickoff. You know, there's a lot of teams that are kicking the ball into the end zone and just giving teams the 30-yard line. And, you know, we've been aggressive in that mode and created some big plays and some big field position plays with our kickoff coverage unit. We've made big plays in the return game, in particular the punt return game. you know, with a block kick or a big return. So that's an area that I think we can utilize to our advantage to help us win games.
Coach Allen, appreciate your time. Big week pre-Atlanta, then Kansas City, of course, Monday night, one at a time. Have a great week of work, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Got to take a break, then Bobby and I will be back with Saints tight end coach Clancy Barone. But first, this message here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
What? When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. Mike Koss along with Bobby Hebert at the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi. And on the phone with us now, Saints tight ends coach in his second year, Clancy Barone. How you doing tonight, Coach?
I'm doing great. Hey, guys, thanks for having me on your show tonight. I appreciate that.
We appreciate it as well. I guess just initially before we kind of get into it, give me a sense of just the tight end responsibility, role, whatever, however you want to say it, in the Clint Kubiak offense. I guess just give me a sense of what that is.
Well, you know, if you go way back in the way back machine and look at Shannon Sharp, who was in the same type of offense, but he was a different kind of a hybrid tight end, so he was used much differently than say maybe today's tight ends are. I've been in this system before in my coaching careers with Gary Kubiak, obviously back in Denver. I've been in this system before when I was in Atlanta with guys from the same system. So when I had Algie Crumpler playing for me back then, and so the game is evolving, and the offense does as well. So a lot of it kind of goes into how does the game play itself out. You look at the first 2 weeks we had, we were rushing the ball essentially at will, and a lot of those were strong side runs going behind the tight end tackle combinations or the tight end fullback combinations. Oftentimes it'd be two tight ends out there doing it, and then other times it'd be going to the weak side where we had the all important backside cutoff, because we know in this type of a stretch zone system, when that ball cuts back, it's usually cutting back on about what originally was the backside C gap. So that's a lot of where it starts. Obviously, I don't want to say it's a run first offense, but it's certainly an offense that sets up everything or most everything through the run, so you can get the play action chunks, you can get the bootlegs of the nakeds and that type of thing. So the run game is very essential to the overall success of this offense, and the tight end role is certainly very, very big and prominent in that regard.
Now, Coach Barone, speaking of the tight end's role, and I know Derek Carr has utilized the tight end in the past, and perfect example. This game, you look how Jalen Hurts was able to utilize Goddard. I mean, 11 targets, I should say, 10 receptions. And look, Foster Morrow, who we consider maybe all-around tight end, not just a pass receiving tight end. He had 2 targets, the 1 catch for a couple of yards. But Juwan Johnson, he's a big target. Why wasn't Juwan more involved? Considering that, you know, wide receiver who's come and played a tight end position, and you might ask him at times, is blocking, needs to improve on that. But explain to the fans why he's not more involved in the passing game.
Well, there's a lot of things that kind of go into that equation. One is Juwan is coming off of off-season foot surgery, which we had no idea, and he didn't even know that he even had anything wrong with his foot. It was kind of bugging him a little bit during OTAs and during the vet minicamp. And when we broke the vet minicamp, he goes and has an x-ray and realizes that he has to have surgery. So he spends his entire vacation, if you will, the latter part of June, all of July and all of training camp trying to rehab that foot just so he can get back on the field. And he, to his credit, he rushed it and did everything he could. He never even put on a helmet until the Wednesday before the opening game of the season. And so, you know, there's a guy that hadn't had a whole lot of time on task. And so to ask him to jump in there and get, 45, 50 snaps a game, that wouldn't have been very smart on our part. So a lot of it has been kind of ramping him up and getting him back up to speed to where he can have a bigger role in the offense. And so we kind of had him on a pitch count, I guess you would say, early on in the year where, hey, let's get him, 20 reps in this game. Let's get him up to 30 reps the next game and get him back up to speed. Because the last thing we want to do is to throw him out there and give him the entire workload and he has 55 snaps a game and then he's injured again and that type of thing. So obviously we're trying to be very smart with him. And then especially Bobby, with your years of playing, and of course Mike's been around football, you've been calling games for a number of years. Sometimes the game plan, for example, when you lose a center that's as prominent and as he's a Pro Bowl caliber center like we have in our center with Eric McCoy, sometimes the game plan kind of changes without prior warning. And so now we're asked to, hey, because of this, and now they're starting to run pressure inside and maybe games inside and things of that nature. So we're going to have to all of a sudden change the entire game plan. Let's get into more of a slide protection and some of the route concepts where we thought we might have a tight end maybe running down the middle of the field and trying to get those matchups. Now we have to, just to play smart offensive football, might have to go into more 6-man or even 7-man protection so we can slide the front. And we're not lacking for weapons outside by any stretch, with obviously number 22 and number 12 out there running around. They're having great seasons. And then you also factor in AK, who is fun to watch when he's got the ball in his hands, whether he's catching it or running it. And so, oftentimes, we're the ones that get caught up in that, hey, we gotta kind of pick up the slack in certain areas just so we can try to execute the game plan. And that happens with every team at some point throughout the year, and just so happened that this past weekend was that point in the year for us.
Coach Brown, like you're saying, you can be finesse and all that, but when we talk about in the trenches, I think we got humbled. There's nothing wrong with getting humbled because, we pride in ourselves to being able to run the football. For instance, they had 172 yards, 25 carries, basically a 7-yard average, and we only had 89, 3.1 average on 29 carries. So when you look at that, and you could go across the board, whether McCoy was in there or not, and you're in that tight end meeting room, and, players, it's the National Football League, you will be humbled. And they were teammates a short time, but Zach Bond, he jacked Foster Morrow up. I mean, when y'all watching the film, do you hurry up and speed up the film? So, or do you acknowledge, like, Foster, do you know what just happened? Or do you challenge him? How do you break that down? Because that's for everybody to see. And football is an aggressive, violent sport. But that's something I know next time I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to be doing the laying out.
Yeah, exactly right. That's something that, we have to make corrections no matter what. And whether you win the game by 30 points or lose it by 30 points, you have to make the corrections. Like I was taught at a very young age, tough love is still love. And so you got to go out there and tell them exactly and be honest with them. And that's the one thing, you know, great, you know, the really good players want to be coached. The great ones want to hear the truth. And so we have to tell them the truth. Hey, this was not good enough. This is not up to our standard. You know, whereas this play is, and so on and so forth. And you know, once it's on tape, it's there for life. And so that has to be something that they're proud of, as a player, that we are proud of as a team. Everything that we put on tape is has our name signed to it. So we have to make sure that we're going out there and putting forth our best effort, no matter what the play call or the circumstances or the situation might happen to be.
Coach, I'm going to ask my question in a second, but first, you've been a football coach most of your adult life, but you have the most amazing vocal pipes I have heard. Have you ever done any commercials? That's just created some unbelievable.
No, I'm actually waiting for you guys to bring me on your show at some point permanently. See, I'll be the third shoe over there in the corner.
Oh my gosh! Well, anyway, I'm going to rep you, so I'm going to get you some. You can do some.
All right, you got
get
it.
You some vocal spots.
Anyway,
just kind of impressive. So my question, Dallin Holker, right? So we don't know a lot about this kid, undrafted free agent. So he's not your typical rookie because he went to BYU. So his freshman year in 2018, and then he goes his BYU mission years, comes back, ends up at Colorado State. So we don't, we watched him all during training camp in Irvine, but just give me some insight as to who, you know, this kid and his skill set and what he brings to the table.
He's a dynamic pass catcher, which he showed early on for us during OTAs and so forth. And going through, if you recall, our first preseason game against Arizona, he had some pretty good targets and catches there, and got some good yards after contact. And think, gosh, I'm trying to think, was it north, south, who knows? But it was to my left, and we're going to the far corner of the end zone. He got the ball down to about the plus 4 yard line, and possibly could have even lowered his shoulder and got into the end zone. But a guy that had a lot of attention when he came out, we had to work our tails off to get him to sign with us as an undrafted free agent. He had a lot of teams coming after him, and why people didn't, you know, go out there and spend a seventh round or a sixth round draft choice on him was anyone's guess. And so we were very, very fortunate to have him. As luck would have it, you know, we're in pregame drills going into our game against the Niners in the preseason, and he ends up twisting an ankle, which was probably the worst timing for him because he was going to be featured in that game. We're going to try to rest him with the other guys and that type of thing. And so here we are an hour and a half before kickoff, and he hurts his ankle, and which took about 3 weeks to get healed up. And he wasn't even actually going out there through practice until the week of the Dallas game was when he's actually able to put on a uniform and go out there and practice again. So as far as his and you guys know, as a rookie, those reps are just invaluable. And so to get full speed reps and live reps and things like that were just invaluable. So I felt, and I think we all felt, he kind of got cheated out of two preseason games where he really could have gotten his feet wet and kind of figure out the whole speed of the game and how to drop his pads and do things that maybe he wasn't asked to do back in college ball. And so it kind of slowed down his growth process. But as soon as when Taysom had his injury, it becomes the next man up mentality, and he was the next man up. And going through the week of practice, we had some things designed for personnel groups and things of that nature, and to where he was going to be featured. But, you know, as we've stated, sometimes, you know, the game plan doesn't have a chance to kind of play itself out. And so you're kind of forced to deal the hand that you have. But he's a guy that I'm very excited about, very high on. I know his teammates are too. And I think he's a guy that as the time progresses and he's able to get back on track with his growth and everything else, I think he's going to be someone that I think we're all going to like to watch here down the road.
Well, Coach, we appreciate your time. I'm thinking like movie trailer tonight in New Orleans. So I'll work
what,
on that.
If you can be my agent, let me know. We can have a package deal.
Got it. You guys get it done in Atlanta, and we appreciate your time. Thanks, Coach.
All right, pal. Thanks a lot, man. Bye-bye.
Clancy Barone, Saints tight end coach. Man, Bobby, as always, we appreciate your insight, appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you next week.
right, Hoss just plugged the Falcons.
You bet, baby. Yep. Got to take a break. Come back. We'll have Mike Dettelier talk about some Monday nights and what's going on in the NFC South. Back after this, this is the Saints Coaches Show on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. We'll go back out to the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi, where Mike Dettelier, best NFL college analyst there is. Mike, when we look at this Atlanta-New Orleans game, before maybe this weekend, you might have – see, these are two kind of – you know, run wide, zone offense. And then, but all of a sudden, you know, Eric McCoy, we don't know about. We'll find out more Wednesday. Atlanta plays last night. They lose Caleb McGarry, Drew Dalman. It might be because, you know, both offenses don't want to be at, sitting out there in shotgun on, you know, third and eight. Who adjusts this week to really an injuries that they have thus far been able to avoid?
I think the talk this week is going to be all about the injuries all across the National Football League. Not only with Saints and the Falcons, but, I mean, all across the board. That's a ton of injuries. And the 49ers, you think about it, okay, you play an overtime game in the Super Bowl and you had that chance and it's sort of slipped away. Mahomes, you never give him that last bullet in the gun because you know he's going to catch you. But look what's happened to them. And then watching last night, and it's unbelievable how the NFL is, because it was the most watched Week 3 Sunday night football game ever. They weren't all watching to watch Arthur Blank get inducted into the Atlanta Falcons, Hall of Fame, so to speak, Wall of Fame. They were there to watch, you know, Mahomes and that offense. And I thought the Falcons put up a really good effort. But when you lose your starting center and your starting right tackle, and most likely neither one will play this week, and Drew Dalman's one tough guy. I talked to Ryan Nielsen about him. And because, you know, he had to go up against him as the defensive coordinator. You're going, Mike, he is double tough. Every play, he brings it, and he's a tough guy. For him to go down with the ankle injury and McGrady with the knee injury, it changes an offense. Mike, I don't know about you, in covering this league now almost 40 years, I think the big difference is there's no depth, or I should say quality depth, along the offensive line for any team. When you start sustaining those type injuries, here's the craziest thing. Because I did the study on a couple years back, the most injured spot on an NFL or a college team, tackles, guard, center. And look what's happened to Atlanta, and look what's happened to the Saints. So you're going to have to change things up. And I give Vic Fangio a lot of credit for yesterday. I thought that scheme he ran of almost six-man front, saying you're not going to be able to find a gap, we're going to close that up, I thought really was unbelievable for the Eagles, and I've never seen Jordan Davis play as well, because I've been around a couple coaches that have coached him, and sometimes you got to press the right buttons, and even that sometimes don't get him started. Jalen Carter, when he's revved up right, he's as good as you'll find in this league, and they both came to play yesterday.
No, I agree 100%, and we all like aggressive coaches, right? But, I mean, Nick Sirianni could have sealed his fate if things don't turn out yesterday with the last 2 weeks. And so it made me kind of think, I feel like I'm watching and I watch Sunday night and Monday night, you know, like, everybody's going for it on fourth down for always. So I went through the stats today. So if you look at teams, we're talking week three. Cleveland's gone for 11 fourth downs. Miami, 10. There's one team with 9, 4 teams with 7, 4 teams with 6. It's crazy. It's like it's not like being aggressive. It's what is almost the norm now. And when you throw that in with kickers are kicking from 50 plus, you know, and 55 and 60, it's just amazing what we've seen in 3 weeks.
How it's changed. Okay, the 50-yard plus field goal is, you know, okay, happenstance. I'll get out there and kid and kick it. When you think about Sirianni, he chose not to kick two shorter field goals, and then he tells Elliott, hey, kid, get in there and kick the 60-yarder. All I can tell you, Mike, I did two shows out in Philly this morning. They weren't crowing about a victory. They were crowing about how bad a coach Nick Sirianni is. It was unbelievable. That was more talk about Sirianni and some of the moves he's made than anything else, than about the W over the Saints, other than maybe a little bit about how Carter and Davis really showed up to play. But, I think there's a time and a place to be aggressive with it. But in a low-scoring game like this, and, you don't have Lane Johnson up front along the offensive line, just like the Saints didn't have McCoy, I kicked that field goal. And had they kind of screwed the pooch and lost this game, oh, my God. Man, he'd have had to have 24-7 protection in Philly. And they still hot after him, and even when he won about it. But it is, Mike, I think what you bring up, a good point, that it is part of the NFL today to go for it on 4th-and-1 and the 50-yard field goal and plus is routine all across the National Football League.
And finally, they're underway. Monday Night Football, Washington, Cincinnati. If you'd have said, oh, who's 1-1 and who's 0-2? Of course, Cincinnati's 1-1, but it's not. It's Jaden Daniels in Washington against Joe Burrow and Cincinnati, in the final time that we have. Just this is a big LSU versus LSU.
Yeah, desperation game for Cincinnati. They had the Kansas City Chiefs right where they wanted them, and they let them off the hook. Man, Jaden's special, though. He can make so many plays with his legs, and he's such an improved passer, but he scares the bejesus out of you. Cincinnati's got to win tonight. It's a must-win and a desperate team at this point.
Well, as always, by the way, Cincinnati's up 7-0. We'll get to that game right after this. Mike, as always, appreciate your time. Appreciate all that you give and your insight for the NFL. Thank you, my friend.
All right.
Saints in Atlanta, Sunday. Mercedes-Benz Stadium, then it's off to Kansas City. My thanks to Charlie Long in the booth tonight. As always, Bobby Hebert, head coach Dennis Allen, and Clancy Barone, Saints tight ends coach. We'll see you next week after a Saints victory over the Dirty Birds here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.